ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तब्रायेश पत्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवयं हि उत्तमश्लोके भक्ति भावति नैस्तिकी मुखं करोति वाचलं पङ्कुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणं हरे कृष्ण. सो वि आर् रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् श्रीमद् भागवतम् फोर्थ् केण्टो चाप्टर् 30 टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 44. ऐ सी many blessed representatives of Vyasadeva sitting here. So I ask for a kind blessing that I may be able to say something, not just speak a lot, but say something. Hare Krishna. So we will recite text 44, which is here at the board. Ata Niryaya Salilat Prachetasa Udanvata Vikshya Akupyan Drome Janam Gam Gam Rodum Iva Uchrite Ata Niryaya Salilat Prachetasa Udanvata Vikshya Kupyantrumeshchanam Gam gam rodum ivochite Ata niryaya salilat Prachetasa udanvataha Vikshya kupyantrumeshchanam Gam gam rodum ivochrite Ata niryaya salila Prachetasa udanvataha Vikshya kupyantrumeshchanam Gam gam rodum ivochrite Atta, thereafter, Niryaya, after coming out, Salilat, from the water, Prachetasaha, all the Prachetas, Udanvataha, of the sea, Vikshya, having observed, Akupyan became very angry. Drume by trees. Janam covered. Gam the world. Gam the heavenly planet. Rodam to abstract. Iva, as if. Uchrite, very tall. I read the translation as given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, all the prachetas emerged from the waters of the sea. They then saw that all the trees on land had grown very tall, as if to obstruct the path to the heavenly planets. These trees had covered the entire surface of the world. At this time, the prachetas became very angry. Purport. Also by His Divine Grace. However, I think at this point it's appropriate to do a little recap, huh? Or kind of, I want to contextualize this verse and show us the kind of, where are we, what's happening here. It's about trees being burned and people getting angry. A bit unusual for what we have heard so far. So let us see how we have come here. Then we read the purport, and also the purport Srila Prabhupada make certain points that link to the storyline, to the event here. So I'll take the liberty to first speak a little bit on what happened so far. And for that we go back to the third canto, beginning of the third canto, to Sri Uddhava meeting with Vidura, and then Vidura being sent to Maitreya. And there the conversation starts between Vidura and Maitreya, somewhere near Haridwar, today's Haridwar. So that's the third canto. And the conversation first is Vidura ask specific questions about creation, about how this world works. And in due course of conversation, Lord Brahma, creator or the engineer, is mentioned, and then also the first of his offsprings, Swayambhu Manu. And then in that regard, the children that came from Swayambhu Manu, there are five, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti, yes, Prasuti. And then Priyarata and Uttanapad. So what after that happens is more or less the family history of these personalities. What happened to them? So we, of course, before that we hear in the third canto about the earthly planet being down in the lower planet, or in the nether regions, and how an incarnation of the Lord comes to uplift Vara incarnation, Hiranyaksha is killed. So then the narration or the talks go around. These two persons became so demoniac, Jai Vijay, they fall down. And but then we start to hear about Kardama Muni marrying Devahuti, and then the instruction he's giving, Kapila is giving, the son of them, giving to Devahuti, Sankhya philosophy. It's like, and that ends kind of the third canto. And then we go into the fourth canto, and there are the descendants. Daksha is there first, and then we hear Uttanapad's descendants, Dhruva Maharaj. And from there, more descendants, Pritu, and in that, the Kumaras preaching or teaching Pritu Maharaj, renunciation and so on. And there in the line of Pritu Andharva, Antadharva, one of his son, and then his son, and then at that point there is this king here, Prachinibha, Prachiniparisha, or Prachini. And Prachini, who has the 10 sons here, which we have been hearing, he was a very fruitive person. He was engaged in karmakanda activities to such a degree that it says he covered the surface of the planet with yagyas or with kusha grass, that the name Prachini indicates something like the earth or spread with grass. He was quite fruitive in making activities that will result in beneficial results for him and others. So there was no bhakti. And Narad Muni, seeing this hopeless person, had mercy on him. And when the sons went away, likely to follow his father's footsteps later on, they got the mercy of Lord Shiva, who told them how to perform devotional service or austerity for the aim to please the Supreme Lord. Meanwhile, as they are away 10,000 years, Narad Muni goes and speaks to Prachinibharishad, and there we have the whole wonderful allegorical story. Actually, this is a story. In the sense, it's just a fictitious narration about a person called the Puranjan. A Puranjan. So the whole fourth canto towards the end, there is instructions to King Puranjana. So meanwhile, as the 10 sons are on the water, Narad Muni speaks to them, and then Prachinibharishad becomes enlightened. He leaves home, and the Prachetas, they come out of the water. And going back to the kingdom, you see, this is all very early. Svayambhu Manu is the first Manu in 14 Manus. It's long, long time back. These personalities, more or less, are all Prachapatis, progenitors of mankind, the devas, not people as we, gross bodies in Kali Yuga. So 10,000 years are not a big thing in that sense. It's different dimensions, different time scale, everything is completely different. So as they come out of the water, trees have grown. King has left, there was a gap, there was no proper ruling, a big mess happened. So they come back and they see everything is, jungle. Something like that, like a big, huge mountains, huge trees and covering everything. You know? So, because they have a task in kind of built into their genes, they are aware they are the Prajapatis, they have to look for further progeny, that something happens, more humans, especially mankind or humans are there, so they can take birth and get purified, so they become angry. And they burn the trees. Now we see what Srila Prabhupada says. And earlier, I want just to mention earlier, His Holiness Indradyumna Swami, 2 days ago, he focused on the Lord's quality of Samaya, who is equal. He wonderfully showed us how the Lord is Ahambija Pratapita, is the Pita Maharaj, or the spiritual master is the Pita Maharaj, caring for living entities equally. So that was his focus 2 days back. And yesterday, His Grace Mukundadatta Prabhu, he focused on the Anaparvarga Virya aspect of the Lord. Somebody whose prowess is never defeated, and he expertly or very skillfully enlightened us how our condition is really a condition of being defeated, how we are decaying mentally and physically, and how therefore we are naturally should be very sincere and serious knowing this situation, and also that we should not water weeds, rather cultivate the bhakti lata beach. So then in essence, so these two devotees have focused on that. I will focus, and you may see why, on this verse today, on something we could say overall, say shraddha or faith. And we will, when we read to the purport now, we will see why. Or maybe you will get the idea why I'm using this kind of overall theme. Purport. King Prajñāparisad left his kingdom before his sons arrived after their execution of penance and austerity. The sons, the Prajetas, were ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come out of the water and go to the kingdom of their father in order to take care of that kingdom. However, when they came out, they saw that everything had been neglected due to the king's absence. They first observed that food grains were not being produced and that there were no agriculture activities. Indeed, the surface of the world was practically covered by very tall trees. It seemed as though the trees were determined to stop people from going into outer space to reach the heavenly kingdom. The Prajetas became very angry when they saw the surface of the globe covered in this way. They desired that the land be cleared for crops. Alright? Nothing about faith, huh? Nothing about specific. But now here, in the purport, Prabhupada continues, it is not a fact that jungle and trees attract clouds and rain. That sentence. It is not a fact that jungles and trees attract clouds and rain. Because we find rainfall over the sea. Human beings can inhabit any place on the surface of the earth by clearing jungles and converting land for agriculture purposes. People can keep cows, and all economic problems can be solved in that way. One needs only work to produce grains and take care of the cows. The wood Sri Sri Gaurani Thai Ki, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki, Sri Sri Radhe Sham Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki. The wood found in the jungle can be used for constructing cottages. In this way, the economic problem of humanity can be solved. At the present moment, there are many vacant lands throughout the world, and if they are properly utilized, there will be no scarcity of food. As far as rain is concerned, it is the performance of yajna that attracts rain. Performance of yajna attracts rain, and not rainforests. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.14, Anattavanti bhutani parchanyat annasambhava yajna Knat bhavati parchanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. By performing sacrifice, man will have sufficient rainfall and crops. Hare Krishna. So, of course, this goes against the grain, a present-day human. It's a unscientific statement. They probably have ample of researchers and evidence how rain is really produced by forests. And now we have Srila Prabhupada saying something quite different. What to do? Of course, it's our duty to uphold the honor and the position of our founder Acharya as being always right. However, we may, like say, I see it like this. That's what my take on this such things. You have domino. Well, maybe you have seen domino stones in China, the mahjong, little stones, and you put them in line one after another. So when you move, we have a long line of such, like one after another, and it's square little domino stones. Not stones, they call it square. So we see the last one falling over. But that's not the whole story. There was one before, the one. And in the beginning, there is one, right? So it may appear that rain or things like that happened by movements of, or sunshine pulling out, so what they say is trees absorb the water at night, something like that, and then by the sun it comes out again. And then, therefore, there is more clouds where there is rainforests. And if you cut the rainforests, the rain stops. Then there's droughts. However, that's not the whole picture. That's just a little aspect. In between, we have Indra. And if you go further back, you find the Sarvakaranakaranam, Krishna Balaram. You're here. Now, people will say, you're really crazy, huh? Two cowherd boys making rain. Yeah, Indra also thought like that. Indra also was thinking, what is this going on, no? In Braj? Why are they worshipping a deva? And at deva, the deva is thinking, why are they worshipping this little boy, you know? Indra is thinking like that. But that's more accurate, the real situation. There's many causes, remote causes. Most of them are invisible for our eye. And that brings a whole new paradigm, a paradigm that is, or a way of thinking, a mindset that is completely different to modern people. Modern people's mindset thinking is based on empiric evidence. Everything is by observation, ultimately, science. Something that started around 400 or 500 years ago, really strongly, with Bacon, Francis Bacon, a philosopher, scientist, like that, kind of started to move away from dogma, Bible teachings, no, into more rational thinking, logical thinking, and underlying is the pramanam, or the epistemological idea that we can actually know something by our senses. Now, from the Vedic, or from a learned person is actually learned, he understands that's not true. He cannot know anything with the senses. Right? We may see something, say some examples are you see something very distant, but by the time that distant thing meets our eye, because of the space, there is time also. So by the time we see it, changed. The planet is not, or the thing we have observed, is not as it was at the moment when we think we see it. So actually we don't see facts. You say, it's a fact, I've seen it, no? Actually, it's all changed. It may be a few seconds, or it may be longer, but it's always changing. So the seeing or observing, all these imperfect senses, simply, we say, four mistakes, four basic shortcomings. So the Vaishnava, he takes the, we have the Shastra,
Amnaya Praha Tattvam. That's the Nidasa Mula, the first underlying statement or Mula. It's knowledge is based, or evidence is based on Amnaya, on the Vedic authority. And then what is being proved or what is under discussion, all is comes back to Vedic authority. So Srila Prabhupada simply makes Vedic authority statement here and says, no, it's not like that, no. There is another system working. And then the next point Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport is about yajna, performance of yajna, which brings us into the Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter section on karma kanda. Now there's another puzzle. We are not supposed to think of chanting Hare Krishna or something fruitive. It's an offense. It's the eighth offense of the holy name to consider chanting of Hare Krishna as a ritualistic activity to create bread or rain. Right? So what we do about this? And it's not just at one place here. We have this guidance, Srila Prabhupada, guiding us, saying if there is no rain, chant Hare Krishna. Rain means grains meet bread. So for your bread, chant Hare Krishna. It's quite fruitive. You want to eat? Chant Hare Krishna. Why do we chant Hare Krishna? Krishna Prem. Bread or not Prem? Bread, huh? We want Prem. We want a service mood to Krishna and not just filling our bellies. So what to do about this? There's also ways of thinking or resolving this. In the Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami makes, in the second canto, he describes that the perfection is to always chant the holy name. 2, 1, 6 or 7, huh? Or what is that verse? Anyway, twice he says that to Parikshit Maharaj. Because the question is, what is a person about to do? What should he do when he leaves the body? And Sukadev Goswami says, chanting the Lord's name. But then he also says that not everyone is eligible or can relate to that. And there are other ways of elevating the person. And one is perceiving the Lord in everything and meditating like that and gradually get purified from the foolishness in our minds that prevent us from actually taking shelter of a bhakti yoga process. Right? So then he says, akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharati divrena bhakti yogena yachetan purusham para. That whatever a person is in, whatever condition he is in, he should always aim for bhakti yoga. So what we see here is Srila Prabhupada's merciful guidance. Srila Prabhupada, the opportunities to bring out the essence, the important things, no? Always brings it back to Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. And also the other, that's one, and also always pointing out the defects of a materialistic ID. There's this statement here, it is not a fact that jungles and trees attract clouds. It's provoking, huh? So what? It is a fact. So Srila Prabhupada uses every opportunity to advance or put forward the proper thinking, the right thinking, which is theistic thinking, not atheistic thinking, or any that deviates from the conclusion of the Shastra. This is Srila Prabhupada's expertise, Srila Prabhupada's kindness on us. We have a world that is far away. We said it's about 400 years from the 1600 to 2000. So 400 years of different way of thinking, deviating from respect to nature. The same person, Bacon Francis, he said that nature is a witch, should be seen like a witch that has to be conquered. Mother Bhumi or Durga, whatever, something terrible. And humans can develop skills to conquer nature, exploit her. And kind of based on that way of thinking, now we have managed to suck out, I think, probably half of what's liquid in Mother Earth, in Bhumi, gases, convert through burning them and making all kinds of things into toxic. Right? Toxic, very strong toxics that are there in the air. There are threats following this type of thinking and actions. Very basic threats to an extent that from, I would think, the majority of people, they don't want to know. Denial. It's so scary if you actually study what is happening right now with the humans, including animals. They say the oceans, all the ocean water is dead. It's a matter of years. It's over acidic, no more oxygen, deprived of oxygen, because inside the different plants are dying out, and temperature is rising. So, dead waters. In general, waters, surface water, any water, 70%, 80% is polluted, not usable for humans. 25% of humanity at present hasn't access to drink water or cleaning themselves. 1/6 of the people go hungry, to bed hungry. Then we have, of course, Japan with a nuclear disaster that is just waiting to explode. 2 years ago, with the tsunami, a terrible disaster. What's stored there, potential is 14,000 more than what was in Chernobyl. What came out as toxic radiation in Chernobyl. What's potential, and that's one reactor only. There's about 5 or 6 they have. And they have big problem to actually, it's time has gone and they haven't done anything. It just gets worse. But as I say, people don't like to hear that. Should I do a little more of this? Don't like it. It's terrible. No, we should actually know. We should know. We should know people have completely messed up the planet, GM foods, any basic necessities. It's very normal. You can expect sooner or later somebody left and right, back, forward, everybody, cancer. It's not normal, but it's happening because everything is toxic, polluted. Now you can say, well, we need good trees, a lot of trees to detoxify. And Srila Prabhupada says, cut down the trees, plant crop. Of course, cities should disappear. That's the first thing. Cities are cancer. Soon there is a city that with people want to eat, so they need a transport system is required to bring food from outside. A Vedic setup is you have one center where people live, say 10,000 or maybe 100,000, I forgot, villages, and the surrounding 5 to 10 miles with land. What is needed inside can be easily transported. Cow, bull, safe speed, no accidents. Or if there's accidents, no broken bones. It's the only safe vehicle speed. Tum, 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 tum. All economic problems solved. No exaggeration. You can have huge quantities of land, villages. Each has its own transport system. Surrounding area produce food. They live together, no problem. Water pollution also not. Cancer, cities cancer, Cities are cancerous, meaning they pollute water as anything. Sewage, all kinds of. And then the transport, blowing things into the air. You have areas like Dubai, Middle East, the Emirates, desert cities, no? Nothing grows there. Everything is except dates. Some camels, we don't see that, but maybe some camel milk. Everything, but many, many people eating, coming by airplane. All the food comes by airplane. Water is kind of turned from seawater, ocean water, with all kinds of tricks into drinking water. It's crazy, mad. Right? And then people wonder, well, maybe global warming is a fact or not? Is it happening or not? Of course, if you take chemicals or substances that are inside and you transfer it into something else and blow it into the air. Definitely. So that's the first domino. Bring it back to the domino. First domino, that's what we see. But there's more to it. They are demigods. So in one sense we could say, maybe Brahma is powerful. Here later we see, because of the Prajetas being angry and destroying everything, Lord Brahma arrives and says, wait a moment. Don't do it. So we can say maybe some of the higher beings, they're going to do something. But generally we don't see that, because it's the law of karma. Simple law. Basically, there's an idea, which or a concept of energy slaves. You ever heard of that? Energy slaves. So humans can utilize energy, electricity, whatever, and use the power for transport, for moving things up and down. So they calculate it like you have horsepower, you know, horsepower, so you have human power. So a human in America has about 44 energy slaves, which he utilizes. Others working for him, they're not beings, they're just energies, no? It's oil like that, no? So you use somebody else's property, it's Krishna's property ultimately, huh? You don't give anything in return. There's a bill. There's a reaction. Just that. It may not be killing. I haven't killed anybody. But it's disowning or misappropriating property from somebody else. And not acknowledging anything. Not doing any yagya in return. There must be punishment. So it's unlikely that people dressed like this, no? With dhoti and kurta and saris. Radiation from Japan will not hit them. They are special. It goes everywhere. You can't see it. Just... It's many places already. So what to do about it? Close the eye. Head down, ostrich. Under the sand. Wait. Oh, it's... Not a good idea, huh? We should face it. And one thing we can do about it. Hey, what to do? Go to Japan. No, we can become... All these things, anything in Kali Yuga that is taking place and having an impact in our life can be an impediment to put pressure on us. Already we're dying, that's a fact. Anybody dies, no, sooner or later. So now it may be a little earlier than expected. Then it would be normal. So we have to speed up. That's all. We have a process or a method or a... We are gifted in that sense, as His Grace yesterday. His Grace... Head Puchari, Mukundadatta Prabhu, yeah. Yesterday said, we are gifted not only with the ability to understand His teachings, or what she is giving us, but also we're gifted with the ability to actually do it. It's incredible, huh? Why, or from what's the background, we don't know. Exactly, we can, and it's not so important, but somehow we are here now. We are having the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. It's up to us now to do it very attentively and sincerely. That's all. And it's something I think about this as our chanting or meditating on Krishna as the name, there are impediments or difficulties that distract us. One is simply modes, activities in the modes, too many vice, too many conversations during the day, or other things that preoccupy us, key passwords somewhere now we've forgotten, or things we put somewhere, or all kinds of little things now, and they come back. Bang. Bang. The mind is preoccupied. But if you're free to hear, if our life is simple, as Prabhupada advocates here, simple life, free, you don't have to think about these things. There's nothing important at that time, morning, early in the morning, no? Then there is another problem. Strained relationships. Right? Something is kind of not smooth. And this happens partially or often because of dishonesty. You're dishonest. I came to my mind, I don't know how accurate or how, applicable that is. But it came to my mind, I have, as a child, as a young little boy, I stayed with my grandmother. I had a broken leg, couldn't walk home, so fed me for lunch. And she had cookies kept in somewhere in the drawer. And ever after, she gave me a cookie, you know. But at some point, when she was in the kitchen, I knew where it is and started to just feed myself, you know. But then I realized at some point she must be knowing it, because it's going down, down, down. But she never said anything. But my relationship with her was not the same after that. And I spent maybe 2 months with her, no? Going, and halfway through this started to build up like that. And I was so glad after 2 months it was over. In fact, I have to admit, I was glad she died. At some point she was old, so she died. Actually, it was not a big thing. I could have it up. She knew it anyway. So, sorry, you know, couldn't control myself. I snatched, or how do you say these things? It's not gross stealing. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't money or so, but just there's a word for it, huh? In English, huh? Sneaking, huh? But I felt so bad myself. At the same time, I wasn't able to confess. And so that the relationship became strained. And I didn't like to think of her. It was something, she's there, I'm here. Something came in between me and her. She was a very nice grandmother, no problem. But because of me doing it in a wrong, having a wrong thought, a wrong action, thing broke. So something like that with Krishna, or ultimately with the associates of Krishna. And also we can, in our life also, if you have relationship problems amongst ourselves, it's disturbing, right? And it's preoccupying during japa. So we say it's very, don't make offenses to the Vaishnavas. Not some mystical, you make offense. Maybe some mystical thing is there, or some unseen, or Krishna remote, but the immediate result is we can't focus. Mind becomes uncontrollable. We know of a very exalted devotee, was it Rupa Goswami, who in a deep trance, perceiving Krishna's reality at Radhakund, observing something that was unusual and having a kind of a smile or a little laugh for himself. At the same time, there was a handicapped or some person passed by and felt offended. He felt Rupa Goswami had made fun of him, something like that. So later Rupa Goswami expressed his difficulty. Something must have happened. I don't know what. Yeah, he couldn't focus. It wasn't the same anymore. And then Sanatan Goswami, his elder brother, thank you. His elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, said, "Well, you must have friction. You must have offended somebody, something. I'm not aware of it." So then, the way they solved it, they invited all the Vaishnavas, and the one who didn't come was the one he had offended. So he went to that Vaishnava and said, "Sorry, sorry." Then, okay, it was solved. So strained relationships, ultimately our strained relationship is there in deep, deep, or from time immemorial in relation to Krishna. And what to do about it? How to fix it? Yogya. We get rain. chanting. But that's not what we are so much concerned about. Right? Rain may come or not. We want to fix it. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should have a heart of contrition. Is that contrition? It means being sorrowful, remorseful. There's a few words like that, which remorseful, regretful, contrition. Huh? So for a person that is an aparadi, for myself, I assume, pretty with good reasons, I'm an aparadi. I may not clearly exactly know what's wrong, where I'm wrong, but the fact is, it's very difficult to keep focused on the whole instant rounds. I've done it, no? Why? Why is it? I've done it, no? Because it's difficult. But it shouldn't be. It's much the most natural thing. Right? So there is somewhere along the line, or in my world, my consciousness, my something I do wrong. So for this, to solve this, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, a person should have a heart of contrition, remorseful, and chant. To get out of that is chanting. More chanting. But now with some acknowledgement. Definitely not the ritualistic chanting. Also not the fighting chanting. Bring it back. No? That's because of vidi vaidi. No? I mean, some yoga practice. No, it's... And I found when, if somehow this awareness is there, this regret, being resentful or remorseful, it's quite naturally, the mind started, other preoccupations, they go away. Because that's a real thing to worry about. As I mentioned this example from my childhood with my grandmother, it was really occupying my heart, my mind, no? This grandmother thing, no? I didn't say anybody. That made it probably worse. I could have spoken about it to my mother and she may have helped somewhere, no? So when we become aware there is something fundamentally wrong, it preoccupies us. Our chanting becomes good, better. Actually, it helps. Try it. It's not artificial. It's a fact. The fact that we are in the material world and somehow looking for happiness in the world means big problem, no? We have stolen things from Krishna and don't admit, plus many other things in that way, no? So it's not an artificial thing to think, oh, I should be real or should have contrition. Just thinking about it makes us understand it's true. It's sambandha jnana. It's part of the sambandha tattva. It's a fact. The living entity turns away from the Lord. So as I initially said, I think we go to 9:15, right? Not 9, huh? 9:15 or 9? 9. No, it's 9:15. I said 9 because the Hindi class goes to 9:15. Yeah. So, as I said, our theme is really Shraddha. Shraddha. In the sense, okay, we believe what Prabhupada says, and we accept what he says is true. But Shraddha actually is something more than just believing something. You can, in English, you can play with the word faith and belief. So this vishwas and shraddha. Shraddha implies it's actually a spiritual experience. And it starts very little, adau shraddha, some interest, and then it builds. The Uttama Adhikari or the Mahabhagavata devotee is characterized by deep shraddha. It's not that he's a fanatically indoctrinated person, has no common sense, no, that's it. And no, he's, for him, in that stage, beliefs don't matter. You may believe whatever you want, no? Belief is concepts in the mind, ideas, philosophies, logics, this and that. It's different from shraddha. A person who is fixed in shraddha, for him, Krishna is a reality. As the stavana jangama deke na deke dharamurti, sarvatra haya nitya, istadeva spurti. He sees Krishna everywhere because of his attraction to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once had and devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, here is Lord Jagannath. We all know Jagannath. And here is Krishna. Flute, Muralidhara Krishna. So devotee asks, Srila Prabhupada, both are Krishna, why do they look different? And you know Prabhupada's answer? Prabhupada's, do they? Do they look different? It's Krishna. Istadev Spurti, Istadev manifestation. So if you want to have that Spurti, that's a revelation. Yes, it's possible. Dasir Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Krayam Indriya Sevo Mukhe Hichivade Hichivado Svayam Eva Spurti Ada. Chanting. Simple as that. That's the Shraddha that we aspire. Other things here, you know, rains, produced by demigods or produced by trees, who cares? Doesn't matter. Yagya, performance of ragya, for do it somehow or other. Just chant Hare Krishna. Gradually, some awakening comes. No? People cannot chant Hare Krishna with proper siddhanta, with tattvic shraddha or shastriya shraddha. Based on shastra, or based on how things really are. They may have some shraddha. There's lokika shraddha, mundane faith. There is even atattvika shraddha, things that are not true. Bhaktisiddhanta Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the word balisak shraddha, right? Childish faith. Childish, naive. Not to have the deeper shraddha, there is a process. Adau shadu sangha. Bhajana kriya. Especially bhajana kriya. Shravanam kirtanam. By hearing, and then hearing, digesting. Not hearing and blah, 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 parroting. Digesting. Very deeply, scrutinizingly, Prabhupada, scrutinizingly study my books. You don't study to find faults. Scrutinize something, you know, to find out where is the miss. No, actually understand how are things, how it work. Like as they say, you know, you have dots, different dots, and you link the dots. So the depths of Krishna consciousness is so deep, you cannot just merely see it. Little dot here, a little dot here. It takes a while, no? That something actually transpires, and we start to see, oh, that's the way it is, and I'm here. Not remorseful, not resentful, no contrition, still not quite clear what's happening to me. One devotee once said, when we are new in Krishna consciousness or in the process, we look back on the past and we have all this kind of, I was such and such, I did a PhD, I have this title and that, no. Kind of still proud. I have done so much social work, blah, 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 blah. After a while, person starts to laugh at himself. I was such a fool, no? One devotee told me, I had this huge motorcycle, and it wasn't an Enfield, it was an easy ride or something. Yeah. Anyway, he said, winter in Sweden, it was cold, so I took it into the elevator up to my apartment, sixth floor or whatever, no? And kept it in my room the whole winter, no? A piece of metal stinking, no? Oily, terrible thing, no? I said, I was such a fool, no? I was so attached to this. In a more conscious platform, the person starts to feel sorry and says, oh, I'm really sorry, no? I've spent so many years stupidly trying to do this, and then, no, attached to this and that. That kind of little progression. And we can see now some remorsefulness comes, some resentment comes. So that comes by considering reading Shravanam Kirtanam. So Ado Shraddha Bhajana Kriya. Well, Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya. And Anartha Nivritti happens. That's what we all talk about. And this unwanted cloud of false ego ideas, they evaporate. False ego is vaporized or goes away. Then there can be some steadiness, some genuine realizations. Not steady like a robot in that sense, but determined. Then Shraddha builds more and more and more. Bhagavat, Mahabhagavata devotee, stick Shraddha. And also Jnana is there, not the Jnana of an intellectual, but actually seeing, realization. Aham Brahmasmi as an understanding, I'm not the body. Huh? So like that. So, I just wind up here. We have this verse where the Prachetas burn trees, angry, having been doing tapasya. But the anger also, we can say, this is bona fide anger in the sense of like a Hanuman or an Arjuna or Bhima for the right thing. And then we have Srila Prabhupada's purport, and the 2 points. One is performance of yajna, and the other point, sacrifice the Sankirtan Yajna to get rain. And the other thing we said, how science seems to tell us something else than what Srila Prabhupada says here about the origin of rain. That it actually, there's another system behind it. Domino effect. We said there is more than what the eye perceives. And we are much better off if you accept the lines of thoughts coming down from Srila Vyasadeva to the Parampara than modern scientists, because modern scientists' thoughts have led to a big mess. And being just devotee might not be sufficient to prevent us from getting a share of them, but it can be an impetus of making our own practice more serious. So that's in a nutshell what we talked here. I'm given extra time. Thank you. All right. Anyone has a question or a comment? One. No, these questions can you ask tomorrow. You ask. Today we have one. Somebody. It doesn't need every day, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
I was thinking that third chapter is Karma Yoga.
Say it again.
I was thinking that third chapter is Karma Yoga, not Karma Kanda.
In the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, from text 3:10 to 16, there is a little section that describes how, by Pavyagya, demigods are satisfied, they provide rain, and that's called a Karma Kanda insert. Overall, the chapter 3 is called Karma Yoga, yes. But it's a Karma Kanda insert. The whole Bhagavad Gita is a blend, I say, a flow of depth, you know, different depths, goes into very, very deep, bhakti, intimate, most confidential, then it goes out on fruitive. If you fight, you go to heaven. If you don't fight, you become infamous. No? So there are many themes in the Bhagavad Gita, like woven through the whole flow. And that little section is Karma Kanda section.
What do you think about chanting with the motives or not chanting?
Better. Kama sarva kama va. Moksha kama dharin. It's always the right thing. Start somewhere. We always encourage anybody, chant, take prasadam. Because what happens by this association is there. And it's all about association. If we associate with fruitive people, fruitive teachers, karma kandi, gurus, we don't advance. By this chanting, we associate ultimately some point with people who, like Prachini Parishad, finally gets Narad Muni's mercy. He can't understand. He hears the whole thing about Puranjana, still bewildered. Finally, he gets it. So similarly, some have pulled people in, whatever motives they have. We don't worry too much about it. If we speak too much about it, they run away. So let them be around. We don't have to listen to them. We should listen to those who give us the Siddhanta proper. But let them have their ideas. Gradually, it will change.
What do you think about, because you was explaining all these different difficulties, people become more demoniac, All these different problems, one problem leads to another problem. What do you think about that we are the devotees, because we're not enough to strongly preach to change the face of the world, that we are attached to our comfort zone?
Yeah, I see your point, but that also is a tricky thing. If I think I'm here to save the world, no?
No.
Yeah, or me or all of us, no? Our task. This is a very scary thing, no? You really get absorbed in thinking about all the problems to solve it. Our thing is to think about Krishna. If you have besides that some way an ability to infuse others with some Krishna bhakti, fine.
No, I'm thinking we are doing our job more efficiently.
Efficient?
Yeah. We're doing Harinam Sankirtan,
yes,
which is
yeah.
Yuga Dharma yes. for this age.
Yes.
But if you're occupied with other things, maintenance, with other different things, that's
sure.
we're losing.
We can
the
just by chanting the Maha Mantra in one place. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And if the person who chants speaks something solid, even better. So you have Indra Prabhu's book, you have Indra Prabhu's lectures, very nice. Powerful. About somebody who has done strong bhajan. It's not like the Tibetan when you hang up some prayers in the wind, no? And they think everything is going to be purified, no? That's Bali Sashrana, childish. The wind blows the written word somewhere, no? I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think it's a little childish. The fact is, it needs a little bit more. We need counselors even. No? People are so screwed up. Even after starting to chant, there's so many problems, no? To bring a person around, it's a lot of hammering and two hands, no? One soft and one strong. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is sweating blood, no? Not just, if it's so simple, just hang up some prayer flags, no? No colored one, yellow, gray, and everything will be perfect, no? Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Ki Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.